May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be now and always acceptable to thee, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today we come to this wonderful event of the visit of the Magi. As we remember in Matthew's Gospel, their arrival in Jerusalem and then in Bethlehem and then their departure. And this is a very significant part of the Christmas story. We've been following the Christmas story for the past little while, and I thought perhaps it would be helpful if I were to try and to just sort of review the sequencing of the events which happened, because we don't find them all together in one gospel. They're spread out amongst the various gospels, especially the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. These two gospel writers were diligent in keeping track of what Mary shared with them, of what the first disciples had heard Jesus say and remembered. And so they kept track of these stories that had grown up and been passed down during those first 60 years. And they remembered how the birth of Jesus had occurred. And it's a very important story, of course, for it is the story of how God came amongst us, became one of us, and showed us how we are to live, and then made it possible for us to do so. Nice saying, well, here's what you do, but unless you have the tools and the strength and the inner direction to do it, you're not going to do very much. But God, in wisdom and grace and love, made it possible for all people everywhere to walk that path that leads to the heavenly throne. And so today we remember the coming of the Magi, who were not part of the Jewish faith, at least as far as we know. Now we know that they came from the east. That's about the extent of where they came from. There have been many suppositions and suggestions as to which part of the east they had come from. And some of the ideas and legends are quite extensive. Others are a little bit more sort of closer to home. But the intention is to say those who came a long distance. And they came with a purpose in mind. They came because they felt that they had been called. They felt that they had heard something. They weren't quite sure what, but they believed that they were being guided by the Creator of all on a very special vocational task. These wise men, magi, astrologers, folks who studied astronomy, were the ones who had noticed in the sky a conjunction of planets. And our scientists, in looking back over the millions or thousands of years, have realized, oh yes, in the year 6 BC, before the Common Era, the year 6, there was a conjunction of three planets. The planets were Jupiter, Saturn, and Mars. And they came together in a line that created a very, very bright, brilliant light in the night sky. And about that year, 6 BC, is the year in which Caesar Augustus said to his empire, everyone has to go to their hometown in order to be part of a census so that we make sure we get taxes from you. As well as if you're young, we'll conscript you into our army. The folks living in Judea, the children of Israel, were given some exemption. They weren't required to put in service in the legions, but they were required to pay their taxes. And so there was in that land a general migration from where people were living back to the location where their family had been first established. And it was, as we know from the Christmas story, that Bethlehem, the city of David, not too far from Jerusalem, had been the ancestral city of Joseph and Mary. And they made their way to that place in order to fulfill the requirements of the census. But more so, in order for God's plan to work itself out, that the promised Messiah, the King, would be born in Bethlehem. That wonderful star was seen by these astronomers who studied the heavens night by night and recorded what they saw. And they realized this was a unique event. This star was a symbol of something very special happening. It was in a quadrant of the sky associated with the Jewish people. And they thought, now what do we know from our ancient books about that? And there were prophecies about a star shining in the sky, showing the presence of God being nigh. And they began to feel that this was a very significant, and perhaps the most significant observation of their lifetime. And as scientists today do, so they did in the past. They wanted to follow that wherever it led. And gathering their retinue with them, they began their journey. And it took a couple of years, perhaps two, at least one, to make that journey across and over to that area where the Jewish folks lived. And they arrived there, and being kings or people of recognition in their own land of stature and of importance, they decided, well, the first person we need to consult is the king in Jerusalem, because surely this person would know where this prophecy was to be fulfilled. And so they went to Herod's court in Jerusalem. Not a good idea. Except, yes, they did get an answer. The scholars were able to find the proper prophecy that spoke of Bethlehem as being the birthplace of the future king, the birthplace of the Messiah, a descendant of David. And they shared that with King Herod when he consulted with them. And then King Herod privately consulted with the Magi in order to find out, well, how long have you seen this star in the sky? And they said, well, it's been a year, 2 years maybe. Something like that. And it's been a while, Your Honor, Your Majesty. And so he said, well, here's what the prophecy says. And what I would like you to do is to go to Bethlehem, search diligently until you find the beautiful little child. And then, after you've had your time of worship, come and tell me so that I too can go and worship the child. Crafty fox. And so the kings left Jerusalem, and the star that they had seen before in the east reappeared. For some reason, they hadn't been seeing it as clearly as before. And now the star was showing them which direction and where. And they went and they came to Bethlehem. And this was not on the same night that the shepherds came. This was a couple of years after. And so when they arrived in Bethlehem, they discovered that the star was guiding them to a residence, not a stable, but a house. And obviously, Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus had moved into a house and had been living there. And they had been, Joseph doing his carpentry work in order to provide for them. And one of the incidences that had happened between that moment and the birth in the stable was that 8 days after the birth in the stable, Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus had made the trip from Bethlehem up to Jerusalem and gone to the temple because their law required that every firstborn male child had to be dedicated to the Lord. And so they needed to go to the temple and perform the ritual associated with that dedication. And so they had done that, and then as they were finishing that ritual and they were about to leave the temple and go back down to Bethlehem, they were greeted by a very old man, even perhaps older, yes, whose name was Simeon. And Simeon saw the baby Jesus and said, "May I hold the child?" And Mary said, "Yes." And the child, he held the child and said, "Thanks be to God. Now I can depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen the salvation of my people, a light to be for the Gentiles and to be the glory of thy people Israel." And he said to them, "What may happen as a result of the birth of this special child who is going to be God amongst us, who will grow to become the Messiah that has been promised." And Mary and Joseph, of course, were astounded and had sort of, we're not sure what all this is about, but yes, very wonderful and interesting. And so they had gone back to Bethlehem quietly. And then a knock comes on the door of the house, and they open it, and there are three radiant kings, all in their bright, colorful robes and their retinue around them, and great sort of sense of joy and thanksgiving in the air, and they want to come in and see the child. And Mary says to Joseph, well, okay, but you stay nearby. And they came in, and the kings were just so gracious and so awestruck that it was an experience that Mary and Joseph never forgot. And the kings opened their treasures that they had brought with them on their pack camels and presented gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and likely other precious things, and left these wonderful assets for the family. And then, after they had had this time of worship and thanksgiving and shared their story with Mary and Joseph, they started to get packed up again. They knew they had to go back to Jerusalem. They weren't too thrilled about going back to Jerusalem. And that night, before they left Bethlehem, they had a dream. And an angel said to them, do not go back to Jerusalem. Go to your home. Go to your own country. But go another way. Go another way. And so they started out. Now, the next part of the story is not very happy, because King Herod, after a few days, became suspicious. What had happened to these kings from the far east? Why hadn't they returned, or at least sent a messenger? And then he began to realize he had been outwitted. He had been outfoxed. And he became angry and more angry. And meanwhile, back in Bethlehem, the same night that the wise men were beginning to get ready to go, Joseph had a dream. And in that dream, an angel said to him, pack up, take the child and his mother and go to Egypt, because Herod's going to be out to kill him. And so they had packed up. And fortunately, these treasures that had been given to them by the wise men became the assets that helped them to make that trip and supported them in their time in Egypt. And Herod, when he discovered all that had happened and how he had been outwitted, he sent his soldiers to kill all the male children in Bethlehem, 2 years and under. And that fulfilled another of the prophecies about the coming of the Messiah. A great lament in Ramah, and none would be consoled for the loss that they experience. The wise men went home another way. They listened to what God said to them. So they were wise, not just in worldly wisdom, but in spiritual wisdom. And the Epiphany, the celebration of the Epiphany, reminds us that we are part of that group of wise people, that we are the ones who have heard the call to come together to celebrate the birth of the Savior, to celebrate the presence of the Savior in our lives, and to rejoice in the presence of our God, who gives us all the gifts we need in order to make the journey, in order to go home, but it may not be the same way in which we came. That a new path may be opening before us. That the field before us may be covered gently in white snow, and there are no footsteps on it. But God knows where our footsteps are to go. We are called to go, to walk with the Lord, to go home His way, and to perform all that He asks us to do along that way. May God bless us as we enter into this new year and as we walk together in community and as we witness to those around us in our daily life to the presence of the love of God here and everywhere.